Hey, Bobby Manning here. Welcome to Dome Theory 73. Back from break. Good 4 or 5 days off there with the All-Star Game, Rising Stars, three-pointer, skills, all that stuff. And I wish I worked right through it, looking back on it. That was a really fun-looking event out there. Ton of people. Didn't think Cleveland would come through, but they did. An incredible All-Star weekend. Definitely a memorable one between Steph Curry's heroics, all-time performance. That shot chart, just go look at it if you haven't yet, NBA.com. Go to the All-Star Game box score and look at that shot chart. And you can watch the highlights too, but man, that shot chart is something. You look at it, 16 threes, most of them from half court. I know there's no defense, but go try to do that at the gym by yourself. Not happening. And he made it look easy. MVP deserving. I know he wasn't one of the highest odds guys, but he was up there. And I think paid off for people at a plus 800 rate. That was a great pick if you went with Steph Curry. I know it probably wasn't a popular pick. So, awesome All-Star. We're back. Stretch run here. I think there's about 20, 23 games left. The Cavaliers are still on my radar. They obviously hosted this thing. Them being great this year gave a big boost to that crowd. You obviously had Isaac Okoro and Evan Mobley involved in the Rising Stars, as well as Jared Allen closing the All-Star game over Nikola Jokic. One of my favorite things this weekend was Nikola Jokic being asked about playing in the All-Star game, because he didn't play that great. Didn't close. And there's, I guess, a history here of him just not playing well in this kind of pickup, throw teams together, do whatever on offense event. And he basically said, deadpan, I don't know what to do out there in an All-Star game. So Allen closes, he holds down Embiid. LeBron hits a game winner fadeaway over Zach LaVine and Embiid jumping in at the last second. LeBron wasn't that great. He was launching jumpers. Looked like he was practicing his three out there. And ultimately does close the game at his old home court there at the Q, and left the door open. Gave a bunch of interviews, among other things that he said, left the door open for a return to Cleveland. Which our guest today, Justin Rowan, thinks was just trying to be endearing to the crowd there, give himself a boost among the people. I don't know. I've said for about a few months now that I could see this happening. In fact, I think it will happen. I think LeBron's going to go back to Cleveland when the opportunity comes. Now, is it going to be this offseason? I think there's a case for both sides. Let the Lakers start fresh with Anthony Davis. Boatload of picks. He's only 27. Move Russ out and have some money to play with to go after some other guys, maybe. And you know, if you did a sign-and-trade situation there, you could get Colin Sexton back. Wally Markkanen, probably, Cleveland would be willing to give up there. And maybe like a Seti Osman or something. Not a great return, but if LeBron's out of there in a year at 40, it's something. Better than just him walking for nothing at the end of the day. And he did forecast that he'll close his career playing with Bronny James, which I'm interested in getting into with our guest today, too. Justin Rowan, you know him. Chase Down Podcast. Cavaliers super fan and official podcaster of the Cavaliers along with Carter Rodriguez. Go check out their podcast. They got a new one out today as well. And I had a great time here chatting about Justin's experience. He did go to the All-Star break. So that's great. I enjoyed this one. We'll have a bunch of guests coming up. I know I got a few authors on deck and a few interesting people that I met over the break. So, that's coming. Details on that soon at Dome Theory, RealBobManning.com, and Garden Report is back tomorrow night after Nets Celtics. I believe they're doing a stream in the Discord as well. I'm not going to be there for that one, but Jimmy and John, Jimmy John podcast from the Discord stream. Go get Discord. Go join the Garden Report. The link's in the bio at CLNS Media on Instagram. We'll tweet it out again from the at Celtics CLNS handle on Twitter. Of course, show our friends at betonline.ag some love. Super Bowl, ton of fun with BetOnline. Did I end up coming through? No, I went with Bengals Moneyline. So It was right there. The holding call. Brutal. The miscue on the next plays. The sacks. Everything. Just so many regrets for the Bengals after playing such a great game. And getting themselves in the field goal territory. Doing that awful run from the shotgun on 3rd and 1. And then ultimately getting sacked on the 4th and 1. Burrow. And I think he got away. It wasn't technically a sack. But man, Aaron Donald was right there. And if you bet Aaron Donald, didn't come through, but Cooper Kupp was good odds as well over at betonline.ag. Just a fun night of betting over there. Football might be over, but the season of basketball still in full steam. Pro, college hoops. I know UConn, Villanova, awesome game setting the doormat for March, which is coming up in just about a week now. ACC tournament, other conference tournaments going to be getting underway. Syracuse, Duke this weekend. From all the latest odds, totals, player performance props to where the next fired coach is going to land, BetOnline is the number one spot for all your sports betting needs. Head over to the website and use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Just use our promo code CLNS50, that's CLNS50, to get started. And it's not just basketball. BetOnline is your source for hockey, boxing, and UFC odds right down to the Olympic coverage. Olympics are over now, but sports, Vegas casino games, BetOnline is your number one online wagering destination. BetOnline, the fastest and easiest way to wager on all your favorite sports and play your favorite games. BetOnline, where the game starts. I'll also give a special shout out this week, of course, over at the Garden Report, our friends from Coda. Know what's great? Being able to work from anywhere. That's great for me. I need my laptop, decent Wi-Fi. If I'm going to hop on the Garden Report, write an article for CLNSmedia.com. That's why I'm a huge fan of Coda. With Coda, you can solve for just about anything. And right now, you can get started having your team all work together on the same page for free. Head over to Coda, CODA.io, CODA. .io, coda.io/garden, coda.io/garden. Get started for free with teams working all across the country. If your best work is spread out across documents, spreadsheets, with stack of workflow tools, you have to jump in and out all day. I do that over here at CLNS. Coda is endlessly customizable, connected, templates for anything you need, product, roadmaps, remote onboarding, OKR tracking, meeting notes. Coda is going to be the key for your team. They adapt to teams, changing strategies. Everything's synced. If you make an update to a table, it's automatically going to show up everywhere. So Coda, if you got a team, Coda is the way to go. Go try it for free. Go find out what they're all about. Coda, coda.io/garden. Coda.io/garden. Here is this week's guest. Dome Theory number 73, Justin Rowan. Oh yeah, go get the podcast, Spotify, iTunes, Stitcher. And of course we're streaming it at CLNS Media and Celtics All Access with some videos from Brooklyn. See you out there. Hey, Bobby Manning here. Welcome to Dome Theory number 73. Justin Rowan is back. I didn't think it'd be so soon, but it was a weekend of Cleveland. It was the weekend of LeBron with the game winner. It was the Cavs team winning the skills competition. It was all Cavs. It's been the season of Cavs. So let's do it in the Cavs show. Why not? You can.
Yeah, right? Everyone wants to talk Cavs right now. I think that's the way that this is.
Well, this is great. You were there in Cleveland, Ohio, down from however many feet of snow have piled up on top of you. Ooh. And up in Canada now, which is looking rough. We're going to get like 7. You probably have like 40.
Yeah, it's been a lot. I spent my lunch break today shoveling enough to get some light back in my house. So that wasn't the most fun in the world. But as you can tell, from my voice not being all the way back, I did have one hell of a weekend, and it was a very good time to be back in Cleveland, Ohio. And the city looked fantastic. Everyone I talked to seemed to have a really good time and enjoy the good food and the good people there. So I definitely think it was a successful weekend.
It looked like a ton of fun. I really regretted not going. I didn't think it was going to be very eventful, but I forgot they were doing the 75 team. And obviously, there was like a bunch of Cavs involved, which always makes it fun. Like, this is like a landmark.
An undefeated weekend. An undefeated weekend for the Cleveland Cavaliers, because they, Okoro and Mobley won on Friday. They won the skills contest on Saturday, and then Garland and Allen got it done on Team LeBron. So, you know, a very successful weekend for a Cavs team that was going into the break with back-to-back losses.
Closing effort for Allen, too. I didn't expect that over Jokic. We'll get into
that. You'd love to see it.
Big minutes against Embiid late. It was an awesome game, but let's just go through your experience. I'm not going to talk a ton on this show. I just want to hear what it was like to be there. Obviously, I saw you guys sign on again with the Cavaliers doing the chase down for another year, whatever you signed on for. Maybe it was a max, maybe it was 4 years.
We'll keep the details on the down low. Not trying to get robbed here. That's
kidding. Well, that's exciting. I was hoping to get Carter on. Carter was there as well, right?
Yeah, Carter was there. His voice is in better shape than
that's
mine.
That's probably why he wasn't available.
You know, and he's got fatherhood. It's, you know, responsibilities. And that's not the case for me. So it is great to be back here. And it was great to be there. I mean, the city, for the most part, like, the weather actually wasn't too bad. There was a couple days of very cold wind, unfortunately, but there was a few days much above freezing. That was nice. Yeah, there were 2 days that were cold. Even though it wasn't as cold as here, the wind just managed to really, really get you. So that was tough. But outside of that, like, the city looked gorgeous. All the pop-ups and the cool things that were going on around town, people seem to really enjoy. The media folks that I talked to really seem to have a good time as well. You know, it's a good food city. There's a lot of cool places to go drink and meet up with people, and everyone's so friendly that it made for a very fun environment.
So there's a lot of events going on too. I saw there was the HBO Lakers documentary or whatever. I saw it had a kickoff. There was a really cool Tracy McGrady, Allen Iverson versus.
Yeah,
which was just a phenomenal idea. I've been talking about versus for a couple of years on this show here, and I've really enjoyed it. The format's amazing, and to bring it to sports, it's just like another home run for them. They've just been like stepping in shit since the beginning of the pandemic with how like many events that they've been able to put on, whether it was Snoop Dogg and DMX getting like hundreds and millions of viewers, and this was a big moment, and really just everybody historically being there, whether it was the Ultimate Draft that was really funny. I enjoyed that, watching that a lot. And that event, and of course the halftime show, the 75th anniversary.
Yeah.
You would have liked to have seen more legends there, I felt like, but still, the seeing Jordan and LeBron hugging and having you know, Rodman there, like you talked about, and just so many legends, Magic, Isaiah, all in the same place. Like, that's a really special thing.
Yeah, the reality is we're still living in a COVID world, and unfortunately, some people are more comfortable than others, right? So it would have been great to have Bill Russell in the building. I definitely understand where he was coming from there, and some of the other players that couldn't make it out. But the ones that did, oh my goodness. And it sure was, like, it still was a lot of legends that were able to attend, and to be in the same building as that ceremony was a really, really cool experience. Michael making the flight on the private jet after the Daytona 500 to be there just in time to get announced.
I think everybody thought he wasn't going. I told my boss. I told Nick, I was like,
we didn't expect
there.
We talked about it during the ceremony. Yeah, we talked about it during the ceremony. We're like, oh man, it would have been cool if Jordan
then he came out, and it's like, whoa, there he is.
And he came out with drunk uncle energy, which was very, very enjoyable to
watch. It was a jovial
to
Jordan. Him and Rodman hugging it out. Him and LeBron hugging it out, which I don't think we've ever seen an interaction like that between the two. I know someone was comparing it to the first time they met, which was more just like a little cold handshake. Now it was full embrace.
Yeah. I think if they have, it was probably a lot earlier in his career when there were those kind of moments. But yeah, I think that was, it was very enjoyable to see Jordan relaxed and kind of taking everything in and embracing today's players. I thought that was a very, very cool moment. And that's the type of stuff you want to see, right? Like, you want to see the legends of yesteryear coming in and embracing today's player. So definitely very, very cool to be in the building for that.
Course, no just no Pippen. Yeah, which would have been interesting if they had that run in. And of course it was a weird Allen KG interaction, and everyone was like, ooh, it's still not looking good there, a month out from the jersey retirement. And then they took a picture together, which I guess is something. I still don't know how that's going to go. I'm really excited for KG night, which is, I want to say, 2 or 3 weeks from now. It's coming up quick in March. Mm-hmm. So that's the night that everyone's thinking maybe Ray Allen comes back to the Garden for the first time and gets embraced, and which I think would be how people would react to him at this point. But yeah, there's still a coldness between Garnett and Allen that might prevent that from happening.
It was hard to read kind of the body language in there, right? Like, we were all trying to play body language experts. I kind of felt like KG had like a little bit of a smirk, like he was getting ready to dap up Ray, and Ray just kind of walked by kind of situation. So
he greeted LeBron.
He made his own decision there in that moment, but I wouldn't be surprised if he ended up showing up for the jersey retirement. Just, you know, they posed for the picture after. I think things will be fine there. I like to be an optimist at heart.
They have to. I mean, we've talked with Max a ton about this too. He cannot be erased from Celtics history. His jersey deserves to be retired too, if Garnett's is going to be. There's no doubt about that. They don't win in 08 without Allen. I'm still so torn about it. It's crazy that we're still talking about it. What is it now? Like, well over a decade since he left. This thing still, a decade later, to me is pretty insane. And, you know, to have like kind of cold feuds, like I guess you could call this whole Pippen and Jordan situation, which is way older now at this point, is so strange to me. And you look at these events.
That's a new feud, because that's the start of the pandemic, with the way that Michael portrayed him in the documentary, right? I think that's where a lot of this came from, is he didn't like the Jordan commercial.
The Last Dance, yeah.
Yeah, he didn't like the Jordan commercial of The Last Dance, right? And I think it definitely kind of struck a chord there. And even when we were having our meetup party at Flannery's in Cleveland, we had Dennis Rodman roll up in there and buy everyone in the bar shot.
All right, let's talk about that.
And even then, he was asking people in the crowd if they thought that Mike and Scotty talked to each other. That was one of the things that he was saying when he was holding court and whatnot. So I think that was definitely a unique experience. But I think recent history with Mike and Scotty is what's kind of driving that feud.
There was a moment where they were all taking a picture on the stage too, I saw, and Rodman just like threw off the 75 jacket, and I don't know what he was wearing underneath, some sort of sweatshirt. I think he wore the same thing to the bar probably that you were at. It was pretty interesting outfit he was in, but man, he was in full Rodman form. It was good to see him there, but he's still Rodman. He really is. So how was that interaction with him?
Weird. Like, it was great. It was surreal. It was everything that you would expect. It's Dennis Rodman. Now, I am now 1 degree of separation removed from Kim Jong-un, which is quite the way to live a life.
It might not have been a shower since. Oh, man, that was just great. Like, seeing all those people there, and I do get disappointed, too, because you think about how many people couldn't be there. I mean, obviously, many have passed on. You had the Kobe moment, which was pretty emotional there when he got announced. And you think of just these silly feuds, especially the Allen one, and it just like how little these spites are between these guys. Like, you never know when you're going to go, especially in a COVID era where like that's taken many people at this point. You think like these moments, the rare moments where everyone's able to be together and celebrate, those situations would prevail, but there's still these feuds that you got to hash out here. And, you know, I think it's interesting too, LeBron being back in Cleveland, that had its own ceremonial aspect to it. This almost strangely became like a mix of, all right, the Cavs are back and let's celebrate LeBron because this is where he started his career and, you know, this is where he made his legacy and blah, 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 blah. And those sort of things were butting heads the whole weekend because LeBron really made this his own like ceremonial return through
shocking,
holding court,
right?
Press conferences, shocking. And listen, the fadeaway for the winner was
pretty epic in this. That's incredible. That house.
You yeah. couldn't have scripted it better, right? Like,
I knew when it was going up, that was going down.
You had Steph Curry doing an all-time shooting performance, and then down the stretch, you know, going 1-for-9 there, not able to break Anthony Davis's record. Gave him that kind of last shot to try to hit the record-making three, and it went off. But it definitely was cool to have not only LeBron hit that game-winning shot, but Jared Allen closing over Jokic and doing a very good job on Embiid. Embiid was kind of giving him the business a little earlier in the quarter, and you know, Allen was making him work, but it doesn't seem to matter at times when you're talking about Joel Embiid. Like, he's, in my opinion, he's the MVP this season, and
he was going off early.
Yeah, you know, the most you can do is to hope to make him work, right? So I think Allen making him work and eventually kind of making him tired late in the fourth quarter was pretty cool to see. And once again, I think the Elam ending has saved All-Star Game. Like, the fact that we can have like borderline real conversations at times over certain stretches of the game, I think is a big win. But the format has just made things so much more interesting.
And I had the TBT founder, who obviously worked with Elam on the rule there on a couple of years ago. And I think when I had him on, I was like, yeah, this is great. You know, it's been great for TBT. And of course, they did it at that All-Star game when everybody really figured out that this is like a potential alternate way to end games here. And now seeing it through, I guess this is the third year they've used it, I'm all on board. They used in the Rising Stars, of course, as well. No one likes the end of basketball games. Like, I think we all just accept it the way it is with the fouling and just dragging it out in the timeouts and stuff. Like, I think we all are just like, yeah, that's just the way it is. But then we watch this every time and we're like, this is amazing. And every game ends on it. So at some point, like, yeah,
sometimes
it's gonna be
it ends on free throws, though. Sometimes it ends on free throws, and that sucks. Like, I think if you wanted to make one tweak, maybe you could have it so that, like, a foul in the last minute.
You can't end on
like
a free throw.
No, it's, like, negative points for your team. You lose a point, but I don't know how you do that. I don't think Elam ending necessarily needs to be, like, regular season basketball. That's just how it ends now. But if they're ever going to do an in-season tournament or something along those lines, I think that would be an easy win for them to kind of change the format just for those games.
Yeah, I mean, there's trade-offs for sure. Usually you're shooting free throws at the end of the game anyway, so it's like a big free throw shooting contest in the last minute or whatever it is to begin with. And it probably helps get things done in a more exciting way in a like close game, but a blowout would probably be a little more monotonous trying to reach that score. It's just, I think the only reason people oppose it for the most part is that it's weird and different, and it wouldn't take that long for people to start buying into it. So I'm there. You know, if they ever wanted to do that, maybe I heard Simmons on his podcast today saying like maybe that's the in-season tournament, or that was actually the mismatch. KOC and Vernon were talking about that.
Yeah,
that would
be
an
on
interesting
board for
spot
that.
To try it out. Yeah,
yeah.
So it's been great in this game. There's no denying that, and the Rising Stars certainly as well. It benefited that quite a bit. That was a great game too. Obviously, as you said, Mobley, Okoro involved in that. Cade Cunningham, I think, really showed a lot of people what he's made of winning the MVP there. And quite a number of guys who haven't gotten a full spotlight yet were able to do some incredible stuff in that game, which is what it's all about. And I haven't been super into it in the past, but this year it was just loaded with talent.
The mini games helped, right? Like it keeps the interest in there, because otherwise that game, you're checking out by the second quarter. Like it's half-assed basketball that doesn't really mean anything. And when you're playing those mini games, there's like a reset, right? Like one game's done, you go to the next one, then the two winners play, you know, that there's a target score. And I thought the intensity, the first game was a little more loose, and then the second team came in and you had guys like Okoro and Mobley that just can't turn it off defensively. Same with Jae'Sean Tate. He was playing really, really hard. And I think that kind of set the tone for the rest of that night. And it was pretty good competitive basketball. And if I was to change All-Star format, I think I might even consider that for the real game, because you get to see every single player, right? Play meaningful minutes that
like a little mini tournament for the real game.
Yeah, that could be fun. But I think as is, they've already done a really good job fixing it.
For sure. And I didn't think that team of Halliburton, Edwards, and Bane could lose, especially with Bay. I mean, you throw a fourth guy like Bay in there, but Edwards didn't play in the title game, which
was
weird.
That was it. Yeah, like Edwards, I don't think he even played a ton in the first one, right? Like, I think there was some talk that maybe he's dealing with like a little bit of an injury. I know that's been shot down, but I guess it's possible if he's not 100% healthy that you don't want him playing a lot of minutes on All-Star weekend. But yeah, he doesn't have anything to prove by being there.
You had a slight G League insertion too.
Tyson Daniels. Fine. I think that's really good showcase for those guys.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think a ton of people notice them, but it's a good idea of trying to force them in, because if one of them potentially did end up having a big game, everyone would be like, whoa, who's that? But
it's also another incentive for players that want to skip college and go to the G League, right? Like, you do this and you have the chance to compete on All-Star Weekend. I think that's a major draw.
And maybe they'll end up getting in the dunk contest. I know they had one G League guy try it last year or 2 years ago at this point. Who knows what year that was, but didn't work. That wasn't a good event again.
I wouldn't be surprised. Some history, one of the worst dunk contests ever.
I wouldn't be surprised if people were leaving.
they were leaving before Obi got the trophy. Like the crowd was already kind of exiting during that ceremony, which was pretty funny. I mean, part of it's his fault too, because that final dunk he got off before like the reset had even occurred, right? Like he just kind of rushed into that dunk, and the announcer hadn't even announced him that he was going. It was like a weird little walk off.
I like the one that finished it off the backboard and in.
The
made
dunks
that one
were
earlier.
Fine. The made dunks were fine. The problem was the field goal percentage in the dunk contest was lower than the 3-point contest, and that can't be the case.
I mean, it felt like Jalen Green could barely dunk at times, and Cole too. I mean, he put the shoes on, he could barely get up there.
Yeah, the Tim's sapped his legs. That was not the smartest idea, and it also took 10 minutes to tie.
To set it up. And then he had like that spinning one where in the air that would have been good if he got to. It just took him forever, and Obi was fine. Like, if he was like fourth place with what he did, that would have been great. Even third place, but he ends up being the winner with what he did, which wasn't great. It felt like by default. And the stupid NFT thing that Green did there, I was like, what? It was just like, is he gonna wear it? Then he took it off and just kind of did a normal dunk. It was a disaster. I'm fine with keeping it, because there'll be years where it's great.
Oh yeah, it's just a hit or miss event. Yeah. It's fine. It is what it is, and when it sucks, it's something everyone gets to laugh at together. I don't think it's a big deal.
No, it's not. Maybe you got to move it, though, because the 3-point, I'd say, is better at this point. I mean, it was exciting again this year.
No, the 3-point doesn't have the ability to ever be a headliner. Like, it's just fine. It is what it is. It's the 3-point contest. Like, there's never going to be a year where it's, oh my God, like, the 3-point contest was the best thing I've ever seen.
There's been years. Fine. You had some years with Curry and Clay and those types in there.
Even when, like, Cat, like, basically set a record, it doesn't matter. Like, it doesn't move the crowd. Like, it's fine. Like, it has a high floor and a low ceiling, to use that analogy.
Fair
like,
enough.
It's fine. Like, it'll never touch a good dunk contest.
It got overshadowed by Curry's real 3-point shooting contest in the
game. Exactly.
Now, that was absolutely insane.
The dunks in that game were better than the dunk contest as well.
Jaws reversed to start it off. Yeah, that was the best dunk of the weekend, I would say. And there's some other good ones in there, too. But Curry, man. So him and LeBron were on the same team, right? You didn't really have them facing off here, and Curry was getting booed.
That
like
Kevin
crazy.
Durant team building came back to bite him once again, where he just let LeBron get all the top players.
And he avoided Harden, which kind of screwed up the setup there too. But either way, Curry just put the shot chart up. And if you're like a nerd, or if you just love basketball, or you just like seeing something that you've never seen before, work of art, really, look at that shot chart that Curry put together there. Ooh. In this game, almost everything from half court. You had the turnarounds in the corners where he's facing the crowd.
He was psychotic. He was psychotic. It was amazing.
I don't think you'll ever
experience.
See a shooting game like that. And, you know, they're open, right? But just the distance and the efficiency that he put on out there, plus just shooting that percentage on that many, what was it, 16 to 21, I want to say, in the end?
Yeah, it's crazy.
Absolutely insane. And he shut up the crowd for sure. They were booing him all, and he deserved it when they were doing that like reality show preview before the events there. I mean, I'm sure that was a bad break for everybody.
Yeah, I mean, we love good sports hate, right? Like that's where it should be, where sports hate comes from some level of respect, right? Like everyone knows how good Steph is. Everyone knows how good Draymond is. And to have an actual crowd that's, you know, that knows the history, that knows who to boo and all that, like I think that that's a real, like, that's fun, right? And Steph clearly embraced it. By the end of the night, they were all cheering, got a big ovation when he got the MVP that he earned well, right? Like, you know, like, as long as people aren't being shitty with that, right? Like, if you're keeping sports hate in the realm of sports and it's all fun and it's kayfabe to some extent, like, that's beautiful. That's what makes basketball beautiful. So to see that and to see Steph really rise to the occasion was just so much fun.
How'd the crowd react to LeBron? I'm sure it was mostly positive.
Oh, it was 100% positive. I mean, he was peppering stories about, you know, keeping that door slightly open. I mean, I think that was a very savvy play by him to guarantee, one, that he was going to get a very, very warm reception. And he did. It was insanely loud when LeBron was introduced. Obviously, everyone lost their minds with the game winner. At the same time, the Cavs and the, like, I think the Cavs serve as a very convenient boogeyman. I don't think that there's a real chance of him coming back to Cleveland in the near future here. And with the Cavs being so good, they make a lot of sense for a guy that really understands leverage and how to use it. Makes sense to bring them up as a possibility, right? Because everyone can see that as an easy storyline. And I don't think that he's going to be leaving LA, but clearly with the Lakers kind of sitting on their hands, he probably felt like he needed to do something to get them moving again.
So I can't believe we're having this conversation already. I think we teased it last time we talked, just because it became like a whispering thing, like, oh, the Cavs are looking pretty good. LeBron's free agency's coming up in a year. Maybe there's a reunion there in the cards. And like you said, he didn't close the door on it. He was praising Kobe all up and down. He was praising Sam Presti for some reason, which was kind of just doing all these.
That's how you know it's really leverage. That's how you know it's really a leverage play, because Sam Presti doesn't deserve that. I think the only ovation larger than the one that LeBron got was Mike, because nobody expected him to be there. Like, we're getting to the end of the ceremony, and then all of a sudden Michael Jordan just comes out of the tunnel, and like everybody was so shocked because he had not been there for the weekend. We knew, like, we saw him on TV at the Daytona 500 like 2 hours ago. So for him to make that surprise appearance, I think was the only time I heard it as loud or louder.
Maybe the Kobe moment, those were all pretty loud.
Yeah, that was pretty cool too. I kind of wish that they let it breathe just like a hair more.
They blew it through it.
But yeah, it's, you know, when you're announcing that many people, I understand why you gotta keep it moving.
For sure. Where are you at on it? I know you don't think it's possible. Let's say it is in the cards and the Cavs have to make a choice here. Do they want to do this or not? I understand people on the Cavs side, Cavs fans, saying that they don't want to go through this LeBron experience again, even if he rounds us out perfectly. And there is a trade this summer. If you think about maybe packaging up like Colin Sexton, a sign and trade, I'm sure you'd be fine with that. Markkanen's got a big contract, and then
you would need 40 million. You'd need 40 million salaries.
Said he would be the third guy there, so that matches depending on how much money Sexton wants, which could be a tricky like sign and trade hard cap thing for the Lakers there. But there's a real chance
how much money Sexton wants doesn't really factor in, right? Because that's not money clearing off the Cavs cap. Like, it would just be whatever his
cap. On the Lakers side, there's a hard cap to bringing a guy in with a sign and trade. So that would be the only difficult, depending on what happens with Russ, right? I don't know how they end up getting rid of him in that scenario. But either way, the Cavs can make it work here.
If he wants to come after the contract is up, I'm fine with it. Like, it's one of those situations where now it's a different environment, right? Like, the Cavs have built something very good that's looks to be sustainable moving forward. And if he wants to be a part of that, and that's a different than them coming to him with their hat in hand, right? Like in the past, I would be open to that. But in terms of giving up like significant assets and like really kind of emptying the war chest to trade for LeBron, I can't see the motivation to go and do that, right? Like,
you get him in a year earlier, 39 versus 40, I'd say. But, you know, it might be a big difference there.
Yeah, but that's, they're not in a position to go make a 1 year run, right? Like, you're still talking about Garland, who's 22 years old. You're talking about Mobley, that's 20. Like, I don't care how good LeBron is, you're probably not winning with that much inexperience around him, right? Like, basketball is still a team sport. You don't have guys win prior than 20, prior to 26. And LeBron, like, he's still incredibly good. And I would favor him over a lot of guys in a playoff series, but he's probably not a top three or even top five player anymore. I don't think you win a championship. So if you're not winning a championship automatically with him being here, I'm not giving up a whole ton of assets in a trade, especially multiple first round picks that would that would impact your ability to trade future picks down the road. Like, I think the Cavs are in a very good position if they want to make a consolidation
move. We've talked about finding the star, right? You want Jaylen. Not happening, but
Jaylen's not happening. But, like, let's say DeJounte, who's got 2 years left before unrestricted free agency. Like, if the Cavs want to go after him, if he becomes available, or any disgruntled young player, they're in a good position to make a consolidation type move and build something that's sustainable. I think Evan Mobley is probably going to be the star. Like, I think he's going to be the number one guy at one point here. But, you know, you got Garland, who's already an all-star and seems to fit in pretty well there. He's only going to continue to get better. Jared Allen's going to get better. Mm-hmm. I think they can take a patient approach and continue to build something sustainable. So I don't think LeBron wants to leave LA either. I think he just wants to put the pressure on them and get them, like, acting, right?
That's fair, like, right? Because he's watching kids' basketball games, and he's doing movies, and he's doing off-the-court business ventures. Like, those are all, there's a real incentive to him doing those things there in LA. And I think he's kind of sent the signal that, yeah, the basketball is important at this point, but the business is right there too. And we're doing all this stuff out here in LA. I mean, he never went to the Lakers for the basketball, you know, mm-hmm. Like it's good that they got Davis there and that led to a championship with the bubble and everything like that. But there were other reasons that he went there, and those reasons will probably keep him there. This is the perfect time for the Cavs to make a move like this, because yes, the guys are still pretty young here, but if you have LeBron rounding it out the center, and I guess this is kind of the point of contention, is whether LeBron's still that guy. I was very surprised when I was talking about this on Twitter to see responses like, oh, LeBron can't get it done, look at what he's doing with the Lakers. It's like, he's scoring 29 points a game, he's still almost seven assists a game, carrying this team night in and night out. This is one of the best seasons he's had from a scoring perspective. So I don't think there's any question of whether he has enough to lead a team to a championship at this point. I know the East is a little bit better, but you put him on that team, and I'm not talking about ripping out Garland or Mobley or you got to keep that. Those guys. But if it's Sexton, Markkanen, and Seti, I like that. Even picks, you know how I feel about first round picks. I'm ready to throw them out the window. I get the value for a team like Cleveland, but if you get this one shot, let's say maybe two shots at going for it all with LeBron at the center of this, I know there's probably a pride thing to getting this done without LeBron for once, but you know, there's a reason that he's been the only guy who's ever wanted to go back to Ohio and free agency there. Like,
Lauri Markkanen, baby. He wanted to force his way there in a sign and trade. Karis LeVert, he's excited about it. Like,
he's from there too.
Yeah,
Karis LeVert. You gotta be from there to understand it.
Yeah, exactly. So, I don't see it. I don't truly believe that he wants to come back. Like, I don't think he wants to force a trade to Cleveland. But if after his contract's up, or
are you excited for it though? If it's in the cards,
I'd be fine with it. Like, I would get excited to see him put on a Cavs jersey again. I think it's kind of neat that the only like times we've seen LeBron in a Cavs jersey is with him basically since he's been a young player, like being the best player in the world. Like, it's kind of nice that you don't have that old LeBron in a Cavs jersey ever in your memory, right? But if after his contract is up, I'm open to it. I'm not making the consolidation move for LeBron when I feel like you can have sustained success for a very, very long time if you do it for a player that fits the timeline. Like, I just think it's not responsible team building. I respect the amount of experience you need to actually go out and win a championship. And like, especially the reality of his body's breaking down. Like, he's not able to stay healthy anymore. I really don't think that if you made that trade that you're kind of outlining, I don't think they'd go on and win a championship. Like, it's nice to think, but I think the core is still a couple of years away, even with LeBron.
My concern's less that, and it is a concern. I see the reason why the Cavs would say no being the allure and just the gravity and the control that he has in these kind of situations that we're seeing play out with the Lakers right now. I could see not wanting to impress that upon Mobley and Garland and having these guys kind of have to form their games to playing around him and all the different kind of stuff that just comes with LeBron. And, you know, it's not a positive or a negative thing. You're always getting the positive out of him being there, but it just, it's just part of the package, just the LeBron effect or whatever you want to call it, just the experience of having him there. I think that could be a little weighty for some young guys.
Yeah. I mean, it's possible. To me, it doesn't even, that's not that high on my list of thoughts when it comes to this. Like, I just can't see him really wanting to come back at this point. Like, not force a trade to the Cavs. I think that would be a tough look as well. And if he did hit the trade market, I think even in a 1 year scenario, I think there's other teams that would be more interested. Like, if you're the Golden State Warriors and you know he's available, you can make, hey, LeBron for Wiggins, would that baby. Be? LeBron for Wiggins.
There's some real goofy LeBron scenarios this
bring
summer,
the whole thing full insane. Circle. Bring the All whole thing full circle. Wiggins, Kuminga, like you get a couple picks in there. Season.
Oh my god, the fans would lose their minds. You thought Durant was bad going there. No, there's some real wacky scenarios that are possible this summer with LeBron. Just because, man, they have no outs there in LA. Like, they are just stuck with what they have there, and it is not good. In fact, you think of all these guys they brought in: Melo, Dwight, Rondo, Bradley. Like, they actually got some decent guys in the door. None of it worked, and I don't think they're gonna have better options next offseason. I didn't even hate the Russ thing at first. You actually thought about how they fit together, and there was just no way it was gonna work. Like, you just said, oh, they'll figure it out, and it wasn't gonna happen. I do want to talk before we get you out of here about the Bronny thing, which is interesting to me. So of course he's gonna try to plays last season with Bron, or as the current rules are structured here. I'm surprised he sent out that announcement or proclamation or whatever it is here that he's going to do that, and that's going to be the setup, because Bronny's not the slam dunk prospect. And, you know, he's still a junior in high school. LeBron's talked in the past about, like, oh, I put this pressure on him by giving him my name. And now all of a sudden there's this pressure of they're going to play together and it's going to be awesome. And like, he's just going to storm right into the league that year. I mean, what if he needs 3-4 years to ramp up and make the NBA?
He's still going to get drafted, because some team knows if you're getting LeBron for 1 year, you're going to sell tickets, you're going to sell jerseys.
But is that what's best for Bronny? No, like, again, it's great that he'll be a shoo-in to get into the league, but I'm talking about in terms of him actually succeeding in the league.
I think the idea of college basketball, like, giving you the seasoning and experience you need to make in the league, is something that is perpetuated by college basketball. I don't think it's actually real. Like, college basketball is shit. It doesn't resemble real basketball.
Yeah, you shouldn't go to college. Awful.
Like, if it causes him to come out a year early, and what ends up happening is he spends time in the G League and he's around pro trainers and whatnot, like, that's going to help him more than college. Like, I just don't buy the narrative that, it could cost him the college experience that would make the difference on his career. Like, he doesn't seem like he's a great prospect. He'd probably get some second round consideration, and this is a way to get him into the league. And I think there's a very, very obvious location where this could occur, and I feel like it's the most likely and hilarious way for this to play out. And
where's that?
Bing bong, baby. The New York Knicks, after striking out once again on a million rebuilds and making all the mistakes that they make, I can see Bronny and LeBron finally going to the Mecca and completing this weird, weird run that LeBron has had on multiple teams.
Well, way to give them more hope. I know they're already dreaming of Zion.
Yeah. The Knicks signing a past his prime star for marketing sounds pretty on brand for them.
Well, the best movie ever made was not going there in the first free agency, for sure. despite what benefits that might have been off the court there. Man, that was a rough stretch after that. That's about all I got here. We talked All-Star, we talked Curry, we talked LeBron. How you feel about those Celtics? Last time we were ready to burn it down. Now they've won 16 of 21, best defense in the league.
I adore the Derek White addition. I think that makes such a big difference. He's such a lineup completer. I think that that is a perfect fit. Boston was peaking at the right time heading into the break. I think
50 that, piece on the Sixers. That was insane.
Yeah. Well, I'm tempted to throw out the results in the last week right before the break because players kind of mentally check out and whatnot. But I think even that it is still impressive to go out there and do that.
That was Harden night. You know, that was the night they introduced Harden. He didn't play, but man.
It was very impressive. Like I don't say that to take anything away from them because right now they are as scary as any team in the Eastern Conference. Like,
so you think they could be a contender here?
I don't think they're a contender to necessarily come out of the East. I think they can beat anyone in the East in a series, right? Like, I think that they could beat any individual team. I just don't know if they have enough juice to win all three rounds. But I think that the Derek White addition is laying the foundation for them really turning this around and becoming a sustainably good team because now you're in a position where you get a real point guard in there. I think that's going to make a really, really big difference. Like, I think Derek White is the perfect two to go alongside, you know, kind of like a Delonte West type combo guard that just completes a lineup. I think he is a really, really good fit. So if you can find a way to flip Marcus Smart and bring in a real point guard that connects everything, maybe shore up a little bit of the depth, I think Boston is now on the right track.
So that's interesting to me, the Smart factor, because I actually thought he might get flipped on deadline day after they brought in White. Now, White hasn't played like a point of attack, like initiator role in that point guard spot. He's more the secondary guy.
Yeah.
With like which is his best role, there, which is his game, yeah.
So, and you can get by with two combo guards, right? Like you can do that for now, but I think long term you still need that guy that sets the table for everybody.
Might be Smart. I'm being swayed a little bit by his recent play here, and you know I've been a big Smart guy.
His recent play, like I don't think you would have got much value for him at the trade deadline because of the amount he's paid and how poorly he had played earlier in the season. He can either play his way into being that guy or he can play his way into actually giving the Celtics more options. So I think from Boston's perspective, it was smart to keep him, pardon the pun, and let him play it out because whether it is through internal improvement or just, you know, showcasing him with less time on his contract, I think that's the right way to go.
Yep. And that lineup, White, Smart, Tatum, Brown, Rob. It's been fun.
Pretty good.
I was worried pretty about the shooting, good. But they have smashed teams with that lineup so far. And they'll have some challenges right out of the break. We'll see.
I no longer want to play them in a playoff series. No,
I'm ready for it. I'm ready for some Cavs Celtics action, a couple of trips to Cleveland, because I missed out here over the break. I did. It looked like a lot of fun there and good fan base, good back and forth between the two groups and more podcasts with you. So let's get that done. 3-6. We'll take it.
Sounds
Justin
good.
Rowan. You can follow him at Cavs Onida. You can listen to the Chase Down podcast. We just recorded a new one tonight, I believe, right?
Yes, sir. Yes,
all right,
sir.
So that will be out. Spotify, Apple, everywhere you get that. They are signed up with an extension with the Cavaliers, official podcast of the Cavaliers. So check them out. I'll be listening to that tomorrow. And of course, check us out too. Stitcher, Spotify, Apple, anywhere you get the podcast. Dome Theory. Ton of guests booked for the next week or two here. We're off to Brooklyn tomorrow to go see Nets Celtics out of the break there on Thursday. So we will be there live for that. Garden Report will be back soon. I believe we're going to do something tomorrow on Discord. So stay tuned for that. And then, of course, we'll be on postgame after Nets Celtics on Thursday. So appreciate everybody hanging in there with us through the break. We definitely took a bit of a backseat here over the last 5 days or so to get some rest. But we're going full speed ahead for the stretch run here. So appreciate you all listening. And thanks again for joining us, Justin.
No problem. Thanks for having me.